Daf Yud Beis. There's a machlokes if Yerushalayim can have tumas negoyim. This is dependent on if Yerushalayim was part of the nachla that was divided amongst all the shvatim. The Gemara says part of the Har HaBayis belonged to Yehuda, but the ulam, the heichal, and the kodesh kodashim were in the chelik of Binyamin. We say when people came up to Yerushalayim for Aliyah LeRegel, the homeowners were not allowed to charge them to sleep in the beds in their bedrooms, but they were allowed to take karbanis hides and empty jugs as the schar for sleeping there. The Gemara says the belt of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was made out of boots, out of linen. And finally we say, this year's a big day Yom Kippur could not be used again for next year's Avodah. Daf Yud Gimel. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Kohen Gadol marries a second wife in case his first wife dies. As we said before, b'chiper ba'adai u'ba'ad beisai, he has to be married on Yom Kippur. The Rabbanan did not worry at all about this Misa, since it isn't Shchiach. Regarding Tumah, we say, Kain Gadol Zarisu. So we don't worry so much that he will become Tameh, because we know that he is Zaris. A Kain Gadol is not allowed to have two wives on Yom Kippur, because it says, V'chiper v'adai u'v'ad beisai, referring to one wife. Therefore, he's married to both, but he gives each one a conditional get. The Yerushalmi learns that the Kain actually marries the second wife on Yom Kippur itself, and even though it's an Issa d'Rabbanan to marry on Yontif, since we need this for the sake of the Avaida, we say that Ein Shvus b'Migdash, and therefore it is okay for him to marry the second wife on Yom Kippur. And finally, the Gemara says a Kohen Gadol can do Avaida, even when he's an Einan. Mashenkin, a Kohen Hedyot, is not allowed to do that. But he cannot eat from the meat. Rashi says that all Basar Kachim should only be eaten b'tzli u'v'chardol, in a time of Simcha. And since a Kohen Gadol is an Einan, he's not allowed to eat from it. Daf Yud Dalet. We have a Mishnah here. On every one of the 7 days of Hafrasha, the Kohen Gadol would bring, and he would be Zarek Dam of the Tamid, he would be Makdir the Keteris, and he would clean the Neiris of the Menorah, and he would also be Makdir the Emurim. This would get him used to doing the Avaida, which he would be getting ready to do on Yom Kippur. The rest of the year, the Kohen Gadol could be Makriv whenever he wanted to. The Gemara says that Rav Chisda says that this Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says the Parah Aduma was Metaher, a person who was Tameh, but at the same time, it was also mitame, a person who was tar. And in fact, any of the people who worked with the mechatas and who worked with the paraduma, they all became tame. However, we know from Rashi that the sprinkler, the person who actually does the sprinkling of the mechatas, of the paraduma, he remained tar. And here we have the famous kasha of the Chassam Sefer. The Chassam Sefer asks, we know that the paraduma had this magic ability to be mitaher people who were tame, but it also was metame all the people who worked with it, who were now tahar, and it made them tame. However, we say that the person who actually did the sprinkling, he remained tahar. Frektach sam sefer, if everyone becomes tame when they deal and they prepare this mechatas, surely the person who does the sprinkling should become tame. He mamish took it and he sprinkled with it. Why does he remain tahar? So sam sefer answers, this is a lesson for people in life. Since everybody else just did little parts, they did a little roll here and there to prepare this water to be sprinkled, they all became tame. They didn't do anything with it, really. By shaking, the person who actually did the sprinkling, he took this water, and he did with it what it was intended to be done. He actually did the sprinkling. Therefore, he remained tar. So the same thing applies to people in life. People are mechuyev to take the talents that they are given and actually do them l'shem shamayim, to do something with them l'shem shamayim. So if people do them and take the talents that they have and they use them for purposes of Shemayim, to be Mekadoshim Shemayim, they actually remain tar and they grow in Yiddishkeit. Mashenkin, a person who has many talents and who doesn't use them, Chas V'Shalom, they can become Tamei. Finally, the Gemara says that there's a Machlekes Tanaim if the Keteris was first or the cleaning of the Menorah, of the Neiris, was first. Daf Tesvav. The Tamid Shel Shachar had a sprinkling that was Shtayim Shein Arba. It was sprinkling on two corners, the northeast and the southwest, but it was Shehen Arba because it actually touched the four different directions. We then say that the sprinkling of the Oila is done from the Ritzpah, from the floor, while the sprinkling of the Chattas is done from the top of the Mizbeach. We then say that we sprinkle the northeast corner first before the southwest because of the klal of Kolpina Sha'ata Paina Lo Yiyya Ela Yamin Lemizrach. Since we know that the Kevesh, the ramp that went up to the Mizbeach, came from the south, when you now get to the top of the Mizbeach and you turn right, you would do something with Azrika somewhere on the eastern side. And since we know that the site of the Mizbeach was on the northeast and it was not on the southeast, you would then sprinkle it on the northeast corner first. We then say that the Karban Tamid needed Bikur. In other words, it needed to be checked for Mumin 4 days before the Haktara. And finally, we say the Beis HaMikid was an area of the Beis HaMikdash used as a warming place for the Kohanim. It had four chambers, and the northwest corner was the Lishkas HaTlaim, which was used for storage of the sheep. Daf Tezayin. The Ezras Nashim was 135 by 135 amas, and it also had four chambers in the corners. All the entrances on the Har HaBayis were 20 amas tall and 10 amas wide. The Chil had 12 steps that led to the Ezras Nashim. Each of these steps, by the way, were a half an amma tall. And then there were 15 steps from the Ezras Nashim up to the Ezras Yisrael, and another 12 steps from the Mizbeach to the Ulam. And since each step was a half an amma high, so the Ulam was actually 19 ammas higher than the level of the Har HaBayis. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that it was 22 ammas higher. The Gemara then says that the total east-west length of the Azara was 187 amas, and from north to south it was 135 amas. The Mizbeach was 32 amas wide. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Mizbeach was in the center of the Azara. Others say that it was in the northern side. Others say that it was in the southern side. Daf Yud Zayin. There's a machlokes where the Lishkas Lechem HaPanim was. Either it was in the southeast corner of the Beis HaMikdash or in the northwest corner of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol was able to choose to be makariv any carbon he wanted, and eat anyone he wanted, or in fact eat any of the lechem upon him he wanted, even up to four or five of them. The Gemara says that it's not nice to give the Kohen Gadol a prusa, just a piece of the challah, but rather we always give him a whole challah. We then say that the Kohanim were automatically entitled to two special challahs from the lechem upon him as a schar for hagafas delosis, for closing of the doors, and watching of the Migdash, and watching the Azara. Daf Yud Ches. We have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the Zakenim would read from the Parshas of Acharemas about the Seder Hayoim of Yom Kippur, and they would tell the Kohen Gadol to learn them and all the halachas during the 7 days of Hafrasha. On Erev Yom Kippur, they would show him the animals, so he would become familiar with that for the Avodah on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol should be stronger, wiser, and wealthier than his brethren. We also say that on Erev Yom Kippur, we fed the Kohen Gadol eggs and floury foods so that he would be able to digest all of the food quicker. And we do not give him fat meat, old wine, or esrogim. Just before Yom Kippur, they did not let the Kohen Gadol eat a lot because they were afraid that he might get sleepy on the night of Yom Kippur. We then say that there are numerous foods, for example, like garlic, which can bring a person easily to Tumas Keri. And we say that a person should not marry two separate women in two separate medinas, because we're afraid of mamzeris. It's very possible that one group of children may not know the other group, and they may not realize that they have half-brothers and sisters, and it could lead to mamzeris. We then say, Eina daima misha yeshlai pas besale, le misha einlai pas besale. In other words, it's easier for a non-married person to be nichshel and carry. Then we have a Mishnah. The Ziknei Bezdin would give the Kohen Gadol to the Ziknei Kahuna, and they would make him swear that he would do the Avodah properly, referring specifically to the Ktaris. Then they would all cry. They would cry since they had to be chayshed the Kohen, and they had to make him swear. Therefore, they would cry over this. And then they learned the halachas and read for him, for the Kohen Gadol, from Divrei Hayamim, from Iyov, from Ezra, from Daniel, all the night of Yom Kippur. Daf Yud Tes. We said that the Kohen Gadol had two special chambers in the Beis HaMikdash, one in the north and one in the south. And the Gemara says that the Lishkas Hagazis was a chamber used for the gatherings of the Sanhedrin. And the Azara, in general, had seven gates. On the day of Yom Kippur, the Kohen would be Tovel in the mikveh 5 times. And this mikveh was on the roof of the Beis HaParva. Also, the Kohen Gadol had 10 kiddushin, 10 washings of his feet and his hands. The Gemara says that Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol HaChayshin B'Ksherim, Leike V'Gufay. We then say that a person who is reading Kriya Shema should not gesture with his eyes or signal with his hands, especially during the first parsha of Kriya Shema. Then the Gemara darshans the words V'Dibarta Bam. This means either you should say the words of Kriya Shema loudly, now Shenkin of course in Shemona Esri where you say it quietly, or V'Dibarta Bam means that a person should V'Dibarta Bam, speak words of Torah, but not speak Dvarim B'Telem. Then we have a Mishnah that says that if a Kohen fell asleep or began to fall asleep on the night of Yom Kippur, the other Kohanim would snap their fingers and suggest that he walk on the cold floor of the Beis HaMikdash. Daf Chaf. The Satan on Yom Kippur has no right to influence Hashem against Klal Yisrael. He only has the ability on the 364 other days of the year to influence Hashem, but not on Yom Kippur, because on Yom Kippur it is a day of Rachamim, where Hashem is listening to all of Klal Yisrael and to all the people to do tshuva v'chapara. Then we say, there's a little bit of an introduction we should mention here, that there were two mizbechais in the Beis HaMikdash, a metal one in the Heichal, which was between the Shulchan and the Menorah. It was used to burn the Ketores every day. And second of all, a stone one with a ramp, a kevesh. This was outside of the Azara and used for all the different karbanos, for the animals. The Mishnah says, every day the Kohen would remove ashes from the Mizbeach at dawn. This was called the Trumas Hadesha. And at dawn meant at the time the rooster crows. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol used to do it at midnight. And on Yom Tov, he used to do it after the first watch, after the Ashmura Harishayna, in other words, one-third of the way through the night. The Gemara asks, what is Kriyas HaGever exactly? Rav says when a person calls out, and Rav Shila says that is when the rooster calls out. The Gemara says when a Kohen said, Ana Hashem, on Yom Kippur, they heard him as far away as Yerichai. Speaking about a voice, the Gemara says that a person's voice carries farther and better at night than it does during the day. And finally, the Gemara says there are three sounds that travel throughout the world, including childbirth. Daf Chof Aleph. A person should not leave his house before the rooster crows in the morning, because it's a sakana, it's dangerous. We then say that when people went to the Beis HaMikdash, the Azara was absolutely packed, completely packed with people. But when they came to the point in the Avodah where they had to bow down, there was enough room for everyone. There was a nes that actually happened, and there was enough room for everyone to bow down. The Gemara says that there were 10 nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash, and this is also brought down in Ovis Parakei. Number one, women never miscarried, even though there was a smell of karbanos, and they would therefore have an urge and a taiva to want to eat some of these. They never miscarried. Number two, the karbanos never got spoiled. Number three, in the area where they used to shecht the karbanos, they never saw flies around the dead animals. Number four, a kohen gadol never saw keri on Yom Kippur and became pasul. Number five, six, and seven, the omer, the shtei halechem, and the lechem aponim were never pasul. The fact that the carbon omer would have become pasul, they would not be able to be matir, the chadash. Number eight, there was room in the Beis HaMikdash for everyone to bow down. Number nine, no one was ever bitten by a snake or a scorpion. And finally, number ten, no one ever complained about being uncomfortable in lina. We know that after bringing a carbon, or during the Aliyah L'Regel, people had to sleep overnight in Yerushalayim. As we learned, Ufanisa v'abaykir v'yalachta l'yayalecha, they slept overnight. Still, no one ever complained about this. The Gemara then adds, the lechem haponim, when it was removed from the shulchan 1 week after it was put there, it was still warm. That was a nice. Also, the aron in the Beis HaMikdash did not take up as much space as it should have. The kruvim also did not take up any space. And finally, Shlomo HaMelech planted golden trees in the Beis HaMikdash, and they produced sweet-tasting fruits. Then the Gemara says there were five things unique about the fire on the Mizbeach, including the fact that it resembled a lion and there was no smoke on the Mizbeach. We then say that there were five things in the Bayis Rishon which were missing from the Bayis Sheni. Number one, the Aron, Kapiris, and the Kruvim. Number two, the Eish, Shamayim, on the Mizbeach. Number three, the presence of the Shechina. Number four, Ruach HaKodesh of the Nevi'im. And number five, the Urim V'Tumim. It was called the Urim V'Tumim because it was the aura, it was the light that helped people complete a thought, the Tumim. This was used to help make decisions. And finally, we say that western winds are bad for Eretz Yisrael, but good for Bavel. But southern and northern winds are good for everyone. This marks the end of the first parak of Masechtas Yuma. Before we begin the second parak, let us give a brief hakdama. All of the Kohanim were divided into 24 Mishmarais. Every Shabbos, a new Mishmar would take over the Avodah for the upcoming week. Each Mishmar was divided into 6 Batei Avos, one for each day of the week. On Shabbos, all the Kohanim helped. This parak describes how the Avodah was divided up amongst the Batei Avos. This was done via a lottery system. Rashi explains that all the Kohanim would create a circle, and a Mamuna would take the hat off of one of the Kohanim. All the Kohanim would then put forth one of their fingers, and the Mamuna would call out a number. And then he would start counting from the Kohen without a hat until that particular number, Kohen, was reached. And the Kohen where the pious, where the lottery landed on, he would be the winner to do the Avodah. One point just to mention is on Yom Kippur, there of course was no pais. Since on Yom Kippur, only the Kohen Gadol was allowed to do the Avodah. And here we have the Mishnah on Daf Chof Beis. At the beginning, when they first began this, any Kohen who wanted to do the Trumas Hadesha, which was the removal of the ashes, could do it. Then came a point where too many of the Kohanim wanted to do it. And at a point where there were a number of Kohanim that came to do it, they had a race up the Kevesh, up the ramp to the Mizbeach. And whoever got there to the top first, he was Zeicha to do the Avodah of Trumas Hadesha. If there was a tie at the top, then they would do a pious, they would do a lottery. However, after a while, when all these races became very dangerous, and there was maises where one kohen would push the other off the kevesh, then they were masakin, and that all the choices for the kohen to do the avodah was done via a pious. And there were four paisos each and every day. The Gemara says originally there was no pious at all for Trumas Hadesha. The reason they didn't have a pious is because they thought, the administration thought, since it was done during the night before, it wouldn't be very popular since the kohen would have to get up in the middle of the night. They eventually learned that this was not the case, and people would get up anyway to do this malacha. The Gemara says the same kohen that won the pious for the Trumas Hadeshan would also get to do two other avodas regarding the Eitzim. This was an incentive to get the kohanim to participate in the pious for the Trumas Hadeshan. The Gemara asks, why did the kohanim have to put out a finger? Why didn't they simply just count the kohanim by themselves and say one, kohen number one, kohen number two? The Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Osir Limnais Es Yisrael Afilu L'Dvar Mitzvah. You're not allowed to count people, even if you're counting for the purpose of a Dvar Mitzvah. And if a person does this, they are over on one, possibly two, Lavin. The Magen Avram, in Simen Kufnun Vav, says that it is Osir to do this, and the Rambam agrees with that. And we see this from Parshas Kisisa, Lo Yia Nega Bifgayid Oysam, by Machzitz HaShekel. We say that we shouldn't cause a Nega by counting them. Rashi says the reason this is true and you're not supposed to count is because it could cause an ayin hara. Today, in fact, we don't count people either. In fact, even when we do a dvar mitzvah, like we count people for a minyan, we do not count one, two, three, but rather we say something else, like a shia asamecha. The Gemara says once a person is chosen to be leader of a tzibur, he becomes wealthy. And we see this from Shaul HaMelech. The Gemara says Shaul made one major avera. He did one major avera in his life. He did not kill Agag, the Melech of Amalek. And the Melucha was taken from Shaul HaMelech, since he didn't have Siyata Deshmaya and he did not do Tshuva. Mashenkin David HaMelech did two Averes. He caused the death of Uriah HaChiti, the husband of Bathsheba, and also he did the Aver of that he counted Klal Yisrael. But he did not lose his Malchus, since he did Tshuva, and he was Mespalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara mentions that the Chet of Bathsheba, which David did, he had already been punished for since he became a Mitzara and lost the Sanhedrin for a period of 6 months. The Gemara says when Shaul became Melech, he was so pure that he was like a one-year-old baby. And we say the Malchus of Shaul was not destined to last very long, since Shaul had a perfect background of Yichus. Mashenkin David had the story of Rus HaMoaviyah, and Rabbi Yochanan said, Ein Mamidin Parnes al HaTzibor Elaim Kein Kupa Shal Shratzim Tluyalei Me'achirav. You do not make a person the head of a tzibur unless he has somewhat of a bad background, at least a little bit of a background. Bad background. Why is that so? So if this leader has too much gaiva, the tzibur can cool him off by saying to him, hey, you know, you remember, you have that background, be careful. Finally, the Gemara says, Shaul got into trouble because he was meichel on his kavod. And we say, melech shemachal al kvaydai, ein kvaydai machal. Daf chof gimel. We know that there are two isurim in the Torah, leisikaim v'leisitar. What is the difference between these two? Leisikaim is if Reuven does not lend Shimon money. So then Shimon comes back to him and says, you know what, you didn't lend me money, I'm not going to lend you money either. That's nekama. Leisitar is holding a grudge. That's when Shimon comes along and says, you know what, Reuven, even though you didn't give me money, I'm going to give you anyway. So in other words, there wasn't any nekama here, but rather he held a grudge against him and he said that to him. That's leisitar. The Gemara says that if a person is embarrassed and he does not answer back, he will get schar for Avas Hashem. We say that there was a maisa on one of the races up to the top of the Kevesh, where one kohen actually killed another one because he did not win the pais. The Gemara says, if a cholol, a dead body, is found outside of Yerushalayim, Reb Tzadik says the city does not have to bring an egla arufa. We know normally when a dead body is found outside of a city, the city that is closest to the dead body has to bring an egla arufa. This halacha, however, does not apply to Yerushalayim. Reb Eliezer says, kohanim, who were Balei Mumin, and who could not do the normal Avaida, were able to do the Avaida of the Trumas Hadeshan. We say that the Ksainas must fit the Kayin properly, and the Mechnasayim must be put on before the other Begadim. And we also say Begadim worn by the Kayin Gadol on this year's Yom Kippur cannot be worn again on next year's Yom Kippur. Daf Chof Dalet. The minimum shear for Trumas Hadeshan, for taking of the ashes, is a fistful of ashes, a Malay Kaimitz. The Gemara says there were four avoidas. There are four avoidas that if a zar, a person who is not a kain, does them, he is chayev misa bidei shamayim. What are these four things? Number one, zrikas dam. Number two, haktaras basar emurim mincha. Number three, the nisuch hamayim, which is done on sukkahs. And number four, the nisuch hayayin, which is done every day for the carbon tamid. Levi also adds from the pasuk of vahazar hakarev yumas that if a zar brings the trumas hadeshan and does the Trumas Hadeshan, he is also Chayav Misa Bidei Shamayim. Rav says he is not. The Gemara says that putting wicks or holders in the menorah is not Chayav Misa, since this is considered an Avaida Sheyesh Achareha Avaida. It's Avaida that once you begin doing it, it has more work afterwards. In general, we say the lighting of the menorah is not considered an Avaida, since there is no specific tzivoy regarding lighting the menorah, because it says in Parshas Baal Yischa is Mashma as you light. But there's no specific tzivoy that a person has to light. So, if the menorah is outside of the heichal, it could be lit by a zar, lechatchila even. The Rambam holds even lechatchila a zar could light it. The Ravid says only b'diavad a zar could light it. So we could ask a kasha on the Rambam. According to the Rambam, why does the Torah address b'haloischa, specifically to Aaron, specifically to the Kohanim? It says daber al Aaron. Who says they have to say it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to say it to Moshe, in other words, to say it over to Aaron? It should have been addressed to everybody. So the Meshech Chochma in Baal Yischa answers, since the initiation process was specifically for Aaron, they were told how to do it specifically. But later on, once it was already done, and it was already initiated, anyone could technically light it. Of course, this is only if it's outside of the Heichal, because a Zara is not allowed to go inside the Heichal. And finally we say the pious happened while the Kohanim were wearing Bigdei Chol, according to Reb Nachman. According to Reb Sheshes, the pious happened while the Kohanim were already wearing Big Day Kodesh. We paskin like Reb Sheshes. Dav Chofei. The Lishkas Hagazis was a large chamber, and the pious was done on the east side of it. And we say that half of the Lishkas Hagazis was Kodesh, and half was not. We then have a Mishnah. The second pious was done for 13 specific Avodas, including the Shechita and the Zrikas Hadam. And these 13 avodas were all related to the Karban Tamid. The Gemara says that the Kayin who brought the Ketores also had the Schus to assign the Machta. These avodas were Skulas for Ashiras. The Gemara says Azar is allowed to do Shechita, but not anything beyond Shechita. Anything from the Kabbalah and on must be done by a Kayin. Ben Kotin, who was a Kayin Gadol, made 12 spouts for the Kir. The Kir was the water fountain. And why did he do this? He did it so that the 12 Kohanim who did this Avaida for the Tamid could do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim simultaneously. And finally, the Gemara discusses that there are numerous shitas on the order that the different parts of the animal were brought onto the Mizbeach. Daf Chofav, the Mishnah. This Mishnah talks about the third pious. And the third pious was done for the Ketores. We say that the Ketores was only open to Kohanim who were never Makriv the Ketores before. This was because bringing the Ketores made the person who brought it rich, made him wealthy. Therefore, they wanted to give everyone a chance to bring the Ketores, all the Kohanim. In Yeredeia, Hilchas Mila, Simen Reish, Samachay, Sif Yod Aleph, the Rama says that being a Sandik by a Bris is equivalent to being Makdir the Ketores. That's why once a person is a Sandik for one person's son, he should not be a sandik for the person's other sons also. The Rama says this. In other words, let's say Reuven is a sandik by Shimon's son's bris. He should not be a sandik by Shimon's second son's bris also. This is just like the Ketores, where we wanted to give everybody a chance to do it. The Gra disagrees, and he says he does not agree with this, since if that was the case, then once you're a sandik once in general, you should never be a sandik again. In other words, where do you draw the line? The Gemara then says that the people who paskind Shilas, the Tzurvei Merabanan, came from either Levi or from Yisachar. We said that the same Kohen who did the Tamid Shel Shachar did the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim. There was no special pious for the Tamid Shel Bein Harbayim, except on Shabbos, where the Mishmar was changed during the day. We then talk about the fourth pious. That was to choose who brought the Evarim on the Kevish and to be Makdir on the Mizbeach. Then we have another Mishnah. The Akravas HaTamid was done with 9, 10, 11, or 12 Kohanim, and the Avodis relating to this included carrying the animal parts and the Minchas Nisachim and the Yayin. We say that on Sukkot, the Nisuch HaMayim was only done by the Tamid Shal Shachar. And we say the Kohen is supposed to hold the water by the Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkot. He's supposed to hold the water high and pour it onto the Mizbeach. We know that once there was a Maisa with a Kohen who was Tzduki, who poured the water on his feet, and the Am stoned him with their Esregim. We then have another Mishnah that says some Karbanos were brought by extra Kohanim. For example, the Ayin was done with 11, the Isle was done with 11 Kohanim. A Par was brought with 24 Kohanim. In general, a Pious is only used for Karbanos Tzibor, but by Karbanos Yochid, any Kohen could do it. The Nadib Yehuda says that the person who actually brought the Karban, who was obviously not a Kohen, he got to choose which Kohen would get to bring the Kohen, would get to bring the Karban. And finally we say a non-Kohen was allowed to do the cutting and the skinning of the animal, the Hefshit v'nituach. Daf Chof Zayin. A Zara is allowed to do Shechita, but anything after the Shechita he is not allowed to do, because we say Mitzvahs Kohanim mikabala v'yelach. The Gemara says bringing the Eitzim to the Kevesh does not need Kohuna, but putting them on the Mizbeach must be done by a Kohen. And this process is called the Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. The Gemara says a Zar who does Avoida is Chayev in Misa Bidei Shemayim, and the carbon that he brings becomes Pasul. Rabbi Yochanan says you could fix this carbon if the Kohen rearranges it on the Mizbeach. And finally we say, Rava says that a pious is only required for a carbon that is brought, and or Avoida that is done during the day, and one that a Zar would be Chayev Misa Bidei Shemayim if he did it. This marks the end of the second parak. On the next tape, we will, Amir Tzashem, begin the third parak, which discusses the specific details of the Avaida on the day of Yom Kippur.